So I'm just going to review the Mishnah. We'll review the Sugya, because not everybody was here for the Sugya. Review the Sugya, and then review the problem of the Sugya, and then the problems that obtained that we didn't resolve. So the Mishnah, for tonight, just to know that the Mishnah, we're talking about Hachovel. So in Chavalah, it's different than Nizkei Mamon. When you break someone's stuff, or when your animal breaks someone's stuff, you have to compensate them for the hefsed. Chavalah is a different system. When you're chova, when you actually injure someone, when you assault someone physically, so the responsibility to compensate actually the responsibility to compensate actually ramifies into different domains that are not just about hefsed mamon. They're mostly not hefsed mamon, because things that would be relevant to hefsed mamon you wouldn't be chayav for. Like Sheves or Refoy, things that are actually, if not, you know, Grumma, maybe Garme, but probably Grumma. So these things you'd really be potter from Betoros Nizkei Mamon, but Betoros Chavalah, because there's a mitzvah of Tashlum and that it has to do with Tshuva, you're Chayev. So Guy Tzadik just texted me and asked me to call him, to call in. So let's see if I'm able to do that. Can you call me? All right. Let's see if this works.
Hello.
Okay. So the Mishnah said, so where is the other category? So in Chavalah, the categories that you're chayav for include Nezek, Tsar, Refoy, Sheves, and Boshes. Nezek is give me some latitude for this, but Nezek is in principle the damage to the guf. The actual physical damage to the guf measured in capacity to perform mechanical labor. So the way that we assay that particular damage is Eved Nimkar B'Shuk. So if you have an arm broken and I'm going to pay you back for Nezek, we figure out how much you would have been worth if you were Nimkar B'Shuk, if you were sold in the Shuk with a good arm versus how much you'd be sold now with a broken arm. Refoy is the doctor bill. Sheves is the amount of, really is the amount of money I pay you when you convalesce for whatever job you're going to be doing next. That week off where you can't do that job, I pay you for that. It's kind of like that. I mean, it's a very complicated sugya that we just finished, so it's not exactly that. And there's a machlokas rishonim about what exactly it comprises, but I think it's sufficient for this to just say that you're not working for a week. I don't necessarily, with the machlokas rishonim, I don't necessarily pay you for what you used to do, but I'll pay you for maybe what you're going to do in the future now that you're not able to do what you used to do. But for this week, you can't do anything because you're convalescing. I pay you the wage either for what you used to do or for what you're going to do in the future. But tsar has to do with the physical pain of the injury, and we try to determine how much pain was associated with the injury. And I pay you, and there's a specific shuma for that. How much would a person take to have this happen to them? That was a sugi also, so that's sort of simplifying it. But how much would I have to pay you? Not in terms of the loss of function or the damage, but to experience the pain of the injury. Now, boshes is the only category of chavala in the Mishnah where the way that we establish what I owe you isn't specified. It's not explicit at all. Whereas every other category of chavala explicitly in the Mishnah describes how I determine how much I owe you. Boshes just says, Hakol lefia mevayesh v'amisvayesh. That's it. It goes by the person that was the embarrasser and the person that was embarrassed. So Rashi says on the Mishnah, Hamavayish, he says, Adam kol shebiyesh boshtu merubah. So the someone who is sort of not a very formidable person socially, that boshes we consider greater. So all things being equal, if someone lower on the social scale, and this is Pei Gimel Amud Beis in the Mishnah, someone slaps you who isn't regarded as very formidable in the community, that's a lot more boshes than someone who is regarded as formidable. Hamizvayish is sort of the inverse of that. Adam chashev shenizvayish boshtu merubah. So it's sort of the opposite. So the more chashev you are, the more boshes you experience, and the more kal you are, the more boshes you deliver. And that's all Rashi says on the Mishnah. But the obvious question is, well, how do we figure this stuff out? How do we figure out, how does boshes work in terms of, how do we determine how much you pay? So the sugya is on, the sugya begins on Pei Vav Amid Aleph. Boshes hakolam fiyam avayesh vamisvayesh. So the first thing that the Gemara wants to know is who authors this Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is pretty cryptic. Hakolam fiyam avayesh vamisvayesh doesn't give you a lot of information. So the Gemara wants to know which Tana, the Gemara wants to know which Tana is the author of that position. So the Gemara says, Mani Mas Nisan. It says, Lo Rebbe Meir, Velo Rebbe Yehuda, Ela Rebbe Shimon Hi. And it says, Ditnan, but it means Ditanya, because this is a Brisa, not a Mishnah. V'chulin ro'on oson ki'ilu hem b'nei choron shi'yardu minachseyem. Shem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'yakov diver Meir. So the Shita, the first Tana, is we see everybody in terms of Boshes as if they were someone that had some wealth and dignity and had some, you know, they've lived life a little bit, but they're not currently an usher. This isn't someone, this isn't the most dignified person in the community. This is kind of a Beinoni. So we sort of equalize everybody. So Rebbe Meir's position is in the Brisa that how do we evaluate Boshes? We look at everybody kind of the same. We don't look at how much money they have or how important they are. We look at everybody the same. Clearly not consistent with Hamavayish Vahamitzvayish. Rav Yehuda Omer, HaGadol Lefi Godlo VaKatan Lefi Katno. So Rav Yehuda says, no, we go by the Godlo. So you know, we do look at the social hierarchy. And in terms of social hierarchy, we appraise the Boshes according to where they stand in the social hierarchy. Much different than Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Shimon Omer, Ashirim Ro'on Oson Ki'iluhem B'nei Chorin Shiyardu Minachseihem, Aniyam Kepchusin Shebehem. So Rebbe Shimon says that what we do, Rebbe Shimon says what we do is we look at the rich people as if they are B'nei Chorin, as if they're Benini people, but the poor people, different from Rebbe Meir, we don't normalize everybody to one level. We look at the poor people as if they are the most poor. In other words, we round down the poor people, and we round down the usher to the Beinoni, so we round everybody to Beinoni except the poor people. The poor people, we round down to almost nothing, which seems like a very strange position. So the Gemara wants to know, so who, if these are the three shittas, if these are the Tanoim, how do you understand the Mishnah? Hakol fiyam hamavayish v'hamisvayish. Who matches that position? So the Gemara says, really nobody here matches perfectly. So the Gemara says, E Rebbe Meir, Mas Nisan Katani Hakol Lefiyam Avayish VaMisvayish. If you say it's Rebbe Meir, the Mishnah says we go according to exactly how much Boshes the person, according to what's delivered and what's gotten. In other words, we actually appraise the value of the Mevayish and the Misvayish. Okay? Rebbe Meir can't be him because he says, Kulhu Bahadi Hadadi Ninhu. Everybody's the same. So Rebbe Meir is definitely not the author of the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, V'i Rebbe Yehuda. Now Rebbe Yehuda certainly sounds the most like the author of the Mishnah, because Rebbe Yehuda says, Hakol lefi gadlo v'katno, that sounds pretty close to Mevayish v'Amisvayish. It's pretty close to what you'd expect from that. So if it's Rebbe Yehuda, it turns out that doesn't work. Why? Because Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Summa ein lo boshes. Because he holds Summa ein lo boshes. And here, clearly, I'm sorry, because the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah in Pei, it's going to come up in Pei Vav Amid Beis, the Mishnah says, HaMevayish HaSuma Chayev. If you're Mevayish the Suma, you're Chayev. And Rebbe Yehuda holds that a Suma doesn't have Boshes. So it can't be Rebbe Yehuda. Ella Lav Rebbe Shimon Hi. So that leaves Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe Shimon is the only one who could be the author of this Mishnah. So the first thing we did before we get to the Summa issue with Rebbe Yehuda. So just to review, and who is the guy? All right. So we have three positions, right? We have the position. So the Mishnah says something cryptic. Hakol lefi hamavayish v'hamisvayish. Doesn't say much. Then you're trying to match that up with what we know about the shittas of the Tanoim. Some Tana had to write this Mishnah. And all the shittas of the Tanoim are spelled out here. There are only three. So somebody has to match up. So we know the shittas of the Tanoim from the Brisa. And we have a cryptic Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know who's the author of the Mishnah. So you have three different positions. You have Rebbe Meir's position that says we normalize everybody. You have Rabbi Yehuda's position, who says we don't normalize anybody. And you have Rabbi Shimon's position, who says that we normalize the rich people down to a Beinoni category, and then we round down the Aniyim.
Rabbi Shimon?
It's Rabbi Shimon, yeah. So then we said, if you are going to try to approach a three-way machlokas, usually what you do is you divide, you look at the machlokas as one machlokas, you anchor the machlokas in two shitas that you find to be the most extreme. You're agnostic for the middle shita while you understand the major machlokas, and then you define the side machlokas. So what we did last week is we defined the major machlokas, and the major machlokas we decided was between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir, Rashi spells out pretty clearly. He says, "Ki'ilu yardu minechsehem." He says, "Ve'ein shamanas ani lefi an yosa lahakel v'loasa asher lefi ashro shar ein ledmei bashto sof ala kulin shavan bekach." Tosfos sort of said the same thing. He says, "Ki'yesh sherem she'ein mitzvayshem yosu minechoren shiardu v'chein aniim ve'ein yachol edaktek alahem kol kach ezim ehen mitzvayish ki'ilu yard ve'ezim mitzvayish yosa apachos." He says, so Tosfos and Rashi both say that there's a problem here figuring out exactly how much boshas someone's going to have. It's impossible to figure out when someone is embarrassed exactly how bad that is. So Rashi and Tosfos both sort of agree that Rabbi Meir's position is, because that can't be done, ein lebe bashto sof, so we have this thing that we normalize everybody. In other words, we make a standard. Everybody is sort of the same in terms of their capacity to experience boshas. Okay, so that's the facts of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, there are very few facts other than the fact that he says that a Summa doesn't have Boshas. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda holds a Summa doesn't have Boshas, which excludes him from being the author of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Hamavayish es Hasuma, Hamavayish es Hasuma is Chayev. So that excludes him, otherwise he matches pretty well. Now it turns out, by the way, that the Maskana of the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Hamavayish es Hasuma, that you're chayev. The maskana of the Gemara for what the Mishnah means when it says hamavayish es suma is not what it appears to mean, that when you actually embarrass the suma. When the Gemara says suma ain lo boshes, okay, because the Gemara on Pei Vav Amud Beis says hamavayish es suma. And it says that Rabbi Yehuda holds Summa Ein Lo Boshes. Summa Ein Lo Boshes doesn't mean that the Summa can't experience Boshes. And Summa Ein Lo Boshes doesn't mean you're not Chayiv to the Summa. That is the Maskana. Okay, the Maskana of the Gemara over there is that the Summa that does the Summa Ein Lo Boshes, meaning you don't collect when the Summa does something embarrassing to someone else. But that's a Gzer Shav that we'll deal with when we get to that Gemara. So it turns out that the Gemara's, in principle, rejection of Rabbi Yehuda is not really based on Rabbi Yehuda's position. Because Rabbi Yehuda, when he says Summa Ein Lo Boshes, doesn't mean that when you're Mavayish the Summa, you're Pater. But it doesn't matter, because that's how the Gemara considers it at this point. So the only piece of information we had to anchor the Machlokas was Summa Ein Lo Boshes and Hagadol Lefi Gadlo, and Rabbi Meir's position that we normalize everybody. So what we did with that Machlokas is we said the following. We said, what is it? What's the fundamental machlokas? What's the fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Does anyone remember? Yeah.
Yeah, the social status, the actual feeling of busha experience.
Yeah. So the way we had the machlokas was there are different ways to understand what the Gemara what boshes means midiraisa. These are categories midiraisa. These are not inventions of the chachamim. They're psukim for each one of these. Every category within chavala, each domain has a particular limud. So this isn't a construct midrabanan. This is midiraisa. So the question is, what is the concept midiraisa of boshes? It's a fundamental question. Even if you never learned the sugya, you'd have the question. Johnny asked the question before we even started the Gemara, because it's the fundamental question. What are we talking about when we talk about boshes? Tsar, you know what we're talking about. It's a physical experience. You know what we're talking about by nezek, because the Mishnah actually explains what it is. You know what we're talking about by sheves, but boshes, it's not something fundamentally that you can decide what it is without having some sort of a proposition.
I'm still a little confused. How's it different than SAR? Both are just experiencing the pain you're feeling, which is caused by one's emotional and one's physical, but you're both just feeling a certain pain.
That's true, but that's only one position in Boshas. Remeir might agree with you. So Remeir might agree with you that Boshas is a category, it's a cousin of Tsar. Boshas is a domain of human suffering. Now, it turns out that physical pain is distinguished in Chavala from the experience of humiliation that goes with the Chavala. In other words, there's nothing about Tsar that has to do with Chavala. You could have been hit by a train and had the same Tsar. There's nothing that's intrinsic to the Tsar that's related to the Chavala. It's all related to the injury. But Boshas is fundamentally related to the Chavala itself, because the experience of Boshas is actually related to having been assaulted, and having been assaulted publicly or however it happens. So that is a fundamentally different domain of suffering, because it actually involves, even though it may not be a social injury, the suffering itself is part of a social context. Okay?
It's not just feeling bad and you're missing a hand. It's
Boshas.
That guy did it to you.
Yeah, so we haven't, so we're getting, drilling down deeper to what exactly, if you hold it's experience-based, what you feel bad about, we haven't done yet. But just to know that it is an experience, and it's a domain that's separate from pain related to injury, and so far, it's distinguished by the fact that it's a domain of suffering that is specific to the experience of Chavala and couldn't be produced by Tsar related to an injury. Because there's no Boshes in principle by, you know, being hit by a bus, in principle. Okay, in terms of someone else did something to you that involves a certain sense of humiliation. All right, so that's Rabbi Meir's Shita. Rabbi Meir's Shita is that this is a domain of suffering. It's a domain of suffering. And it's not Tsar, because it's specific to Chavala. So we wanted to say that the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda was, Rabbi Yehuda holds, when we talk about Boshes, we're not talking about the domain of suffering. We're not talking about Boshes as a construct in terms of the psyche of the individual. We're talking about Boshes really as almost a market force. That there is, we're talking about Boshes in the social dominance, social hierarchy sense. That within any economy, you have a social hierarchy, and you have people that have more gravitas in that economy. You have people whose social status allows them to leverage who they are to get what they need better than someone who doesn't have as much social status. So when you embarrass somebody, when you assault somebody, and you reduce the amount of esteem that other people have for them because of that injury, which is something that human beings can't help but to do, you've injured them in a more economic way, but it's still a social way. So Boshes, in that sense, is a matter of an injury that has to do with demoting them in the social hierarchy. It's a demotion. You've engendered a social demotion, and that has real cash value, as it turns out, in any economy. So it'd be like a guy who has a lot of endorsements being publicly embarrassed and losing a little bit of his market share. But that's an economic force. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Boshes is not a cousin of Tsar. Boshes is more a cousin of Nezek, kind of. That it has to do with more of a socioeconomic damage than a domain of human suffering. And that's how we anchored fundamentally the Machlokas. So then the question is, if that's the case, this is what we didn't do last week, what does Rabbi Shimon hold? And now the first thing that we did before we talked at all about Rabbi Shimon is Guy asked the question, okay, so if you hold that Rabbi Shimon, it seems to be that the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah, that he is the Tana of the Mishnah. Hakol lefi amavayish v'mitzvayish is Rabbi Shimon. That's what the end of the Gemara says. Masnisin Rabbi Shimon he. The problem with that is, how does Rabbi Shimon's position jive with the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon basically says what Rabbi Meir says, except he allows some play with the Ani. But otherwise, he doesn't say Hakol lefi amavayish v'mitzvayish. He basically says that the Mitzvayish is going to all be paid the same, except for an Ani. Right? So, I saw... you guys know who the Mari Kass is? Or you could call him the Mari Kash. You may have heard of him as the Mari Kash. I think Mari Kass is a better way.
From Marrakesh?
Huh?
From Marrakesh?
No. He's from Mitzrayim.
Just going back, Rosh Hashanah says the Ani doesn't get anything?
No, he says, Pechusin Shebehen. The Ani gets, the Ani does get paid, but you round down. The Ani gets what the lowest level Ani would get. In other words, if you have an Ani, you have a spectrum of Aniyim, and you have a guy that is the $25,000 a year Ani, he doesn't get the $25,000 a year payment. He gets the like $10 a year payment. Every Ani gets Pechusin Shebehen. Everybody else, and now, where people fall if they're not Aniyim, there's only so far you can go with Rabbi Shimon in terms of figuring out exactly how he'd paskin for someone who's not an Ani, but just above an Ani. But presumably, everybody is Bainani except this category.
Why do you say he's aligned with an Ani?
Because everybody else, the usher he holds, doesn't get paid like an usher. The usher gets paid ki'ilu yardu minechseihem, like a Bainani. And so does everybody else.
Well, can he hold that the value, just a different opinion of the value of social status?
So let's put it this way. The whole shita of Revi Meir is that we can't get, he's not a social status by design Tana. His position is that Boshis is an experience and you can't get to it because it's internal. So then if Revi Shimon holds that way, so then why should the Ani be any different? Why wouldn't we just normalize everybody?
I agree. Then I think he's holding like Revi Yehuda.
Okay, but we can get to how you think he's holding, but just before we do that,
I just want to know why he went in that direction. Is that what?
Well, because he uses the same lashon. Rabbi Shimon actually says, okay, well, here's what he says. If I read you Rabbi Shimon, he says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashirim Ron Osan Ki'ilu Hem B'nei Chorin Shiyardu Menechseihem. That's Rabbi Meir, exactly what he says. And then he just says, Aniyim K'pechusin Shebehem. That's the only group that he distinguishes from Ro'on Osan Ki'ilu Yardu. So everyone's Ro'on Osan Ki'ilu Yardu except that group. Question is, why did he distinguish that group if he holds like Rabbi Meir, which he seems to. Okay? So then the question still remains, and this is more of a question, the pshat in the Mishnah, how do we hold that the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon? That's Guy's question. Is everyone with me so far? There's no way you're completely with me, but kind of with me? Pretty close?
Yeah.
Okay, so but you have the base, you got what we're grappling with? We're grappling with how can Rabbi Shimon be the Tana of the Mishnah if his Shita is basically Rabbi Meir with one exception, and the Mishnah is pretty much Rabbi Yehuda, except the problem is Rabbi Yehuda has that Summa thing. Right?
Right.
All right. So the Marikas was a contemporary of the Mechaber, who was the Marda Aser of Mitzrayim, and he actually moved up to Sfat, I think, and like learned for a long time with Machaber, but he's the Marad Aser of Mitzrayim. A lot of his stuff doesn't survive, but some of his stuff does, and one of the things that has been discovered is the 2-volume set on Bava Kamma, which is really very good. He happens to be prolix in Achovel, which is rare. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, where does it say that Rabbi Shimon Shita is at a Summa in Loboshes?
No, Rabbi Yehuda.
Where is our Mishnah that says that?
No, it's not our Mishnah. So the Mishnah, not the Mishnah that says it. The next, Pei Vav Amud Beis, it says, if you look, it says, Hamavayish es Hesuma, and then Hamavayish es Hayashen Chayev. And then if you look down in the Gemara, so then the Gemara says, after the two dots, Masnisen lo delo karev Yehuda, detanya Rav Yehuda Omer suma ein lo boshas.
Fine, so then why can't the first Mishnah be one like Rav
Yehuda? I agree. So why couldn't this Mishnah eventually go like Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara in the end decides that in principle, by the Shita of Rav Yehuda, it could. But here's the problem. The problem is that the Mishnah itself said, Hamavayish es hayashen chayev v'yashen shabiyesh pater. V'loktani suma shabiyesh pater. Rav Yehuda's position is that the Summa Shabiyesh is Potter, but the Mavayish, right? The Summa Shabiyesh is the Potter, but the Mavayish as a Summa is Chayev. Michlal Deloshna Hachi Vloshna Hachi, it's not going to work. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't distinguish the same way it does by Yashain by Summa. So therefore, Rav Yehuda isn't going to work. But his Shita works. He just can't be the Tana because he doesn't work for the Mishnah. But for Mavayish Vamisvayish, he works much better.
I'm saying that the Gemara is trying to figure out who wrote the Mishnah on Pei Gimel.
The Gemara is trying to figure out who wrote that Mishnah, but they consider it all one thing. So it's all one thing, So therefore, he can't be the author of that Mishnah because the end, what they consider the end of it, doesn't distinguish between the Summa and the Yashin, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold to the same. Okay, but that's a side point. But getting back to the Mari Kash, did you hear the basic how we anchored the basic machlokas in Bosh? It's important to note because as we go on, we had a basic machlokas Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda, and the machlokas was whether you say that everybody is sort of the same by Boshas in terms of what they experience, or do you say that everybody goes according to sort of where their status is? And so Rashi explained that what does it mean that everybody's the same? It says, Ein the Dmei Bashto Sof. And Tosfos sort of explains that you're not able to be medaktik, you're not able to figure out what anybody's particular level of Boshas is, because it's impossible to really get at that. So that left Rabbi Yehuda, who just held Summa Ein Lo Boshes. What are we doing?
Saying the Mishnah is all one Mishnah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's true.
No, that's, no, that's, yeah. The way they tie up the Mishnah is so.
All right. So the way that we understood the Machlokas, without, you know, completely recapitulating the whole thing, was that the question of Boshes is a fundamental question of what are you chayav for? Are you chayav for a domain of human suffering that involves a public humiliation, and that involves exactly what you experience? If that's the case, it's very hard to establish a range for that, to be precise about measuring that. So if that's true, so Rabbi Meir holds you sort of normalize everything and everybody gets the same value. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Boshes is not a domain of human suffering. It is an injury that involves a demotion in social hierarchy, which has a value. So if you're a really important guy in your community, you're more likely to get a loan, you're more likely to get married, you're more likely to lots of things, make a good business deal. So that has cash value. So if I demote you socially by injuring you, which sapiens are very sensitive about social hierarchy, we have a large portion of our cortex that functions to a large degree to observe and keep track of that. That has real implications in terms of mamonis. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the injury is an economic injury. According to Rabbi Meir, the injury is a pain type of a domain, an experience type of injury. Okay, so we were left with the question of how we can hold Rabbi Shimon as the Tana of the Mishnah if Rabbi Shimon basically agrees with Rabbi Meir except for the Aniyim being held separately. So it wasn't just our problem. The Mari Kash says the same, gives Guy a lot of credit. He doesn't quote Guy, but he says the Gemara says Masnisin Rabbi Shimon hi. V'lama yarech lomar lo Rabbi Meir v'lo. Why does the Gemara spend so much time trying to show you who is not the Tana? Right? Hari kishetahaya aliba de Rabbi Shimon hadavar yadua de lav Rabbi Meir hi. V'kol shekein shebesamach mefarsh v'omar v'i Rabbi Meir. Why does the Gemara have to do it's Rabbi Shimon, and it's not this guy, and it's not this guy. And if it's Rabbi Meir, this won't work. And if it's Rabbi Yehuda, this won't work. V'yesh lomar shekushelo de Rabbi Shimon murid ashirim v'aniyim. Umas nisen amrinan hakol lefi amavash v'amitzvayash. Dehaino lefi archem mamish. Lefikach hiktem dekivan delo matzia. Since it wasn't possible to establish Rabbi Shimon as the obvious candidate for the author of the Mishnah, so then it had to first rule out Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. U'b'hakrach la'amidak Rabbi Shimon. And then by the fact that we're left with no one else, it's Rabbi Shimon. So afal gav shdekasha ketzas, right? Even though we're left with a little bit of a question at the end, the Gemara decides that Rabbi Shimon is the closest fit. So your question is, how is Rabbi Shimon a perfect fit? And the answer, at least to the Marikas, is that there's no way to absolutely reconcile that, but amongst the Shittas of the Tanoim, this is the only one that's left. We can work out, if we want, how we could fit that to Mavayish or Misvayish. But it's the same question you had. All right, so then the question is, what is the Shitta of Rabbi Shimon? We said that you had a Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir. And the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir was about what is the nature of Boshes, and they were polar. They were anchored in a fundamental Machlokas about what the nature of Boshes is. And then you have this Rabbi Shimon position, And Rabbi Shimon's position is, I agree with Rabbi Meir, except by Aniyim. By Aniyim, we pay them sort of the lowest amount possible. And Rashi says, Kepechusin Shebehem, Shebehen, he says, Pechusin Shebe Aniyim Lahakel. Dekaven da anihu boshta kala. That's all he says. He says, we're makel. What do you mean we're makel? What does that mean? So basically, the only clue you have to this is that Rashi holds that Rabbi Shimon is a kula, and therefore we're makel with aniyim. But everybody else, everybody that's above that, everybody who is at least kebenei chorin, whatever that is, the beinoni level, is going to be rounded down. Okay? By aniyim, he says we're makel. So everybody else is rounded down. By aniyim, the kula in this case, by the usher, yes, by the usher it is a kula, and it would be a chumrah for sure to pay the ani. It'd be a chumrah on the mazik to pay the ani more, to bring him up. In other words, if you're going to be mala the ani a madrega, you're going to be machmir on the mazik.
No, is he saying that really Rabbi Shimon would say that they're all the same, but he says there's a kula by the aniyim that they're brought down to nothing?
He doesn't. Well, according to Rashi, all Rashi says is that we're mako on the mazik, clearly, and that's why you pay the aniyim less. Now, I agree with you that we're also mako on the mazik by the usher, right? But if we hold we're makel on the mazik by the usher, that means we're machmer by the ani, according to Rabbi Meir. You have to say we're machmer by the ani, according to Rabbi Meir, if you say we're makel, according to Rabbi Shimon. Does everyone get that? In other words, if you're a poor guy, and I'm bringing you up to the level of B'nai Chorin, I'm making everyone the same level. So for an usher, a guy who has a tremendous amount of dignity, I'm paying him less than what he really feels like he deserves, because I can't figure out how much he experienced. By the ani, who presumably has less dignity than the B'nai Chorin, I'm going to pay him more, because we can't figure out exactly how much an ani has. He does. That's for you to work out, but that is the question. Do you hear his question? The question is, Hamotzi Mamon Michaver Olav Haraya, that is a principle in Mamonis, that if you're going to make someone pay, you're always making on someone in Mamonis. You have to show that they owe the money before you can make them pay. So the question really, in a sense, is on Rabbi Meir, Hamotzi Mamon Michaver Olav Haraya, how you could force him to, in any case, to pay the ani more than what you know that he's worth. And then, if that's true, what's the machlokas? What does Rabbi Shimon hold and what does Rabbi Meir hold? So Rabbi Meir holds that you're makel on the mazik legabe the usher, but you're machmer on the mazik legabe the ani. Rabbi Shimon holds you're makel on everybody, right? You're makel on both. You're makel on the usher and your mesa. Everybody's rounded down.
That's Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Meir holds you're makel on everybody. Rabbi Shimon holds your makel on everybody. Rabbi Meir holds your makel and your machmer. Yes, you normalize everybody. So what is the machlokas?
The guy who's getting embarrassed.
Yes.
If he's a you know, dignified, you know, high society guy.
He's gonna get rogered a little. He's gonna get paid as if he's not so.
Get less.
He's not gonna get paid as Guy Tzaddik. He's gonna get paid as, you know, I don't want to say, but you know, someone else. You know, he won't be Guy Tzaddik level. Yeah. Right. He's not going to get Aaron Stauber, Guy Tzaddik. He's going to get, you know, Jeremy Koppel. All right. So for the Mazik, that works out pretty good. For the Nichbal, for the Chova, that's good. For the Nichbal, that's not so good. The Nichbal kind of, the Nichbal gets rogered in that sense. But if the Ani is the Nichbal, he's doing pretty well, because he's going to get paid better.
He gets paid like who?
He gets paid the same way. He gets paid like a good white-collar worker that was wealthy at one time and now is sort of a beinoni. Doesn't get paid like an ani. According to Rabbi Shimon, he gets paid like the lowest level of the aniyim.
Now, in both of these sheets, whatever the machlokas is, does it matter who the person who's injuring that person is?
For right now, let's ignore that. And let's say that according to Rashi, yes, according to Rashi, it does. Okay, according to Rashi, it's similar to the mechanism of injury. Just like you'd consider whether it was a slap or whether it was a push, you also consider who does it. Okay? Not everyone holds that way. We'll see.
We're going with that.
We're going with that because that's Rashi. We'll do that in Machlokas next.
Didn't you say before they were married, nothing to do with social status?
Yes.
So then how do you have any of these questions?
What do you mean? You have questions on, that's on the Mizvayesh, it doesn't matter. On the Mivayesh, it does. The Mivayesh induces, the social status of the Mivayesh can still induce an experience of embarrassment that depends on his social status. Doesn't mean the injury is social. The injury can be a domain of suffering, but it's dependent on how important the guy is who did it to you. Okay. Meaning I'm gonna be more embarrassed experience wise if the way the Gemara has it, a more cow person does something nasty to me than if a more formidable person does something. It's still the boshus is still in terms of my experience, but the person that does it, their social status impacts that. So it's not that Rabbi Meir holds social status doesn't mean anything. He just holds that's not what you're chayav boshus for. It does determine how embarrassed you are if the person that's delivering the boshus is more important. That's a reality.
It just holds the calculation is impossible.
He holds your experience is impossible. We can calculate how important the guy is who did it to you. I just can't calculate what that feels like. I'm able to determine what the social hierarchy is. I could do an experiment to determine that. I just can't determine how bad you feel when it happens. You look perplexed. What we're saying is that when we say the issue of whether boshes is a social injury or whether it's an experience in suffering does not exclude the reality that we consider social status in terms of the person that does the boshes, the mivayish, because he's capable of inducing a greater... The experience is still deeper in terms of the boshes, and the Beis Din can still consider that. They consider everybody the same. So if you're an Ani and I'm an Usher, we're considered the same instead of in terms of our level of embarrassment, but we'll both get paid more if an Ani is Mevayesh us. We'll both get paid more.
Okay,
because we consider that Mevayesh more Kal. That's the Shita of Rashi. We do consider the Mevayesh. Right? Are we good? We're good? Good?
They get paid more for poor man.
Yes, that's how Rashi learns it. The Adam Kal is a bigger boshes. Now, you may have a different feeling about that. That may be a little bit culturally contextualized. Because intuitively, you might think that you'd be way more embarrassed if an important person embarrassed you.
No, I agree with what you said.
Well, it could be sort of delayed in greater humiliation than you're embarrassed by a lesser man.
Yeah,
I mean, in a physical confrontation, it's probably true. Because you have to realize these are physical confrontations.
Okay, fine.
So in a physical confrontation,
it's always expected if you're more formidable.
Yeah, yeah. So in a physical confrontation, you're assuming it's a surprise that you didn't handle yourself.
It's an upset victory.
You said there's a principle of we're always nickel.
Hamotzi mamoni chaver alav araya. That in a regular case, you say mamoni givach. You come to a Beis Din and say that guy has my money. I don't owe you anything. You have to prove it. So
this is always not going to be a problem for a mayor. You're looking for an answer to that.
It is a problem for a mayor. I think it's a problem. Because that motzi mamoni chaver alav araya, he's forcing the chovel to pay the ani more than he deserves.
I'm not always going to get him out of this problem.
We are.
What do you mean? How is it? That's my problem. That's what I'm having. How are you saying he's making him pay more than he should?
Because let's say...
He's saying there's no calculation.
I know,
but... Show me that you're paying him more.
No, because you know... Let's say you have the pechusim sheba aniyim. You have the lowest ani. You know the lowest ani is not...
In his Rebbe's framework, there is no lower and higher. There's one... You can't figure it out.
No, he's saying you can't be precise. He's not saying you don't know what the range is. You may know what the range is, you just can't be precise, so we don't do it. It's not possible to be precise, so he says we normalize it. But that doesn't mean you can know that a certain person is not Kibbenei Charon. You can know that. But still we force the Chovel to pay.
Right.
That's the Chumrah. Definitely you're gonna be paying if you injure a whole spectrum of people, you're gonna be overpaying for somebody and we're gonna know it. Yeah, now if everybody's kind of in the middle, you won't know, but at the extremes, you're going to know.
Right. But it's only a problem if you assume that really you should be paying any less. but you just have to pay. If you say that, pay
you have to. You can't change the principle. You can't change the proposition. The proposition is that the experience is to some degree determined by this, whether you're an usher or whether you're an unusher.
Right, but who says according to a master framework you have to pay according to how great the degree of the experience was?
Because that's how he starts off. So that would be fair, except that Rashi says, V'ein shamanas ha'ani lafi anyoso. He like specifically says what Revi Meir was sort of correcting for. Lahakel. V'loas ha'asher lafi ashro. He says you don't, in other words, Revi Meir would hold that really that's how you should do it. You can't.
Right.
Ein demei bashto sof.
So since that principle, since we can't get precision, maybe holds that the entire system is removed from a particular experience, meaning it's just the boshes per se that's machayu. Once we can't get precision in particular experiences, it's not really an experience whatsoever.
Okay, I'm okay with that, but then how are you going to formulate the machlokas?
Right.
You want to be careful when you do it, because if you just peremptorily, you know, completely change the arc of what he's saying, you're going to have a very hard time with the other position. You're just going to have to walk it back. So in some ways, it may be easier to start with the other position and then see what Rabbi Meir must be holding.
Can you hear me say what Ariel said?
Say again?
You just say.
He's saying that once you scrap the system of Ein Demei Bashto, of Demei Bashto, of being precise about figuring out exactly how much this person really deserves, once you scrap that system, so we use a completely different system. So you don't consider boshes at all. It's just a nominal value.
Okay, now Rimer says that out of due to it's difficult to determine any difference in the economic injury land.
And no, in the
private experience.
Private
experience.
Yeah, because you could figure out in economic injury land, you could do it. You could always figure out where people are in social hierarchy. No one will ever say you can't figure that out.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm not sure the ramification this is, but whoever holds it's an economic injury, is it due to the status of the mit bayish, or is it due to the inability of that person to function in a consistent economic way? Like you said, like he'll get a bad deal now.
Well, so that's...
Is it his future economically, or is it like a punishment?
No, I think it's... I think. Well, I would say that it's got to be, if you're going to consider it an economic injury, it has to be a change in his economic footprint. In other words, he's been demoted socially. If you're going to consider that an economic injury...
I'm not sure.
So it means he's not, if there is a market value to that, it's a market value in lost future. It's not a market, in other words, there's no reality to a social value.
Okay.
That's a perceived value.
And no one holds just that as terribly hard to calculate, so everyone's the same.
Well, here's the thing, it's not terribly.
How long does the Busha stay in the community for? 3 months?
Okay, no, you mean how did they, what did, when Rebbe Huda said, Hagadol lefi gadlo v'katn lefi katno, how would he actually implement that?
Sure.
I don't know how that would be.
Okay.
We don't pass. I mean, I'm not sure what exactly would, if you held like that, what would you actually do? But you know what? If you think a lot of these domains, I mean, the tsar thing, determining how much exactly you would come out of rotzalito, how much a person would take for some sort of terrible thing to happen, a lot of these would get probably difficult and they'd be left up to the Beis Din. These were all given. These are things you're chayv midoraisa, and it was given to the Beis Din to kind of work out specifically. No, so they had the guidelines, but it didn't, there was nothing explicit about this injury pays this amount.
That's the sign breaks another guy's arm. Beis Din can determine the pain of that injury.
Kama adam rotza litol is the guideline they used.
Once again, they have a chart of like broken arms.
No. I mean that you're going sort of beyond the range of sense data where I can answer the question, because we don't know, because we don't do this now. So, you know, you still pay nowadays. I think you pay Nezek, and I think you pay Shevis. I think you pay Shevis. You pay Shevis and Refoy now.
Why not? Sorry, we're still paying today.
I know, but it has to do with whether this is a Knas and whether we do this Chutzla Arts, and it's lots of things that make it that we don't do it anymore.
Right.
I mean, but I think we still do. Shevis and Refort.
Did they use like previous like court rulings to evaluate the next
precedent
court case?
I don't know. You're asking things that I can't know.
In general, did Beijing do that?
I don't know.
You have no idea. Okay.
I have no idea. I have no idea how this was actualized, and nobody really has an idea.
Yeah, Mr. Rishon says, at least it's normalized at the bottom, you get the poorest spectrum of money payment, and Ray Mayer says you get whoever is the exact middleman. You get the middleman.
Everybody gets the middleman according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Shimon, everyone gets the middleman except the Ani, Basically, Rabbi Shimon holds, it's not just accept the honor, I should say. Rabbi Shimon basically holds we're makel every time. Okay, so we always, Rabbi Shimon holds we round down.
Okay.
All right, so we round down on the ani and we round down on the usher.
Category or across the entire spectrum?
It's sort of got to be across the entire spectrum.
Well, there's two patterns. There's round for the usher, round down to the.
Yes, but what happens as you get closer to the middle, I don't know. But the assumption is that everybody, that you have to be makel every time. You have to be as makel as you can be on the chovel. That's
it's
Rabbi Shimon.
Is it clear or is clear whether or not there's an usher and ani category or just...
No, there is definitely an usher and ani category, but the ani gets rounded down to Beinoni, and the usher gets rounded down to Beinoni, and the ani gets rounded down to Pechusin Shebehen.
Okay.
That's what we know. What we don't know is what would happen if you had a guy who was a little bit less than... Do they know if someone's a little bit less than Bnei Chorin? Does he get round? How would they figure that out and round that guy up? I don't know.
He's in the lower category. Then he's in the lower category.
Yeah, but he's not an ani.
Right.
So do you say that everybody sort of gets rounded down?
Because we would go with categories, usher, Benny,
and then... An ani, but it could have been a spectrum. It could have been a spectrum where you sort of rounded down, and these are just... These are sort of the bookmarks for the spectrum, but really the principle is... That you're always makel on the chovel. I think
that
that's the way to learn Rabbi Shimon.
Everyone should be rounded down to be safe.
Yeah, I think the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is not just that we deal with the ani and the usher this way.
Right.
Everybody is rounded
the
down.
The last rounded down. You're rounded down an entire category or to the lowest spectral unit in your own category.
I think you lower down to the lowest spectral unit in your category because there isn't because.
So, okay, fine. So now I'm not saying what your question is. What did you find you've already calculated?
What's hard to calculate or what the machlokas is?
I'm
saying that knowing exactly who the Ben, whether someone's exactly a Ben Chorin might not be that easy.
As opposed to knowing who's an usher.
Who's an usher and ani are extremes. So ani and usher, it's easier to tell who's that. That's an actual thing. That guy's a rich guy, that guy's a poor guy. Who is in the middle and who's less than in the middle is harder.
Is there a mission on talking monetarily?
Yes, purely monetary.
But Rabbi Yehuda was talking socially.
When, yes.
So Rabbi Shimon is pretty easy. You just figure out their income.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's fine. But let's work on the actual machlokas, though.
I mean,
forget that.
It works out like you'd expect. If you really can't get precise, you have to go as low as possible.
Okay.
That works out like Rabbi
Shimon. All right. So he holds that. So what's the machlokas? What did Rabbi Meir hold?
Right. Well, he holds once you're removed from precision, you're removed from... discrete values.
But then there's the question, and I don't mean to be brisker, but there's got to be a machlokas. There can't be Rav Meir holds this and he holds that.
Yes.
There can be, and Rav Moshe worked out the sugya quite like that, where the Dibros Moshe, he has these three different shitas, and there really isn't a particular machlokas. They're just three fundamentally different shitas. But if you're going to learn this as a machlokas, there has to be something that they are arguing on. The question is, what do they disagree about? What do Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon disagree about? Does everyone understand why that's a problem?
What was lacking?
Because they didn't have a disagreement. It was just two different positions.
Right.
There's one thing.
They disagree what you're measuring. Social status, which you can't.
They both agree that you can't get to the experience.
The suffering of both.
They both agree with what that is. No one disagrees.
Fine.
They just have a different way of handling the problem of where these people fall out. In terms of ani or usher, which is a barometer for their internal experience. You have to take that as an axiom, that the ani and the usher have a different level of dignity.
Boshes is going to affect their monetary status, and that's why...
No, forget the monetary status is not part of this. These guys hold that this is all about experience that we just can't get to, so we have a correction. The question, they have a machlokas in what the correction is. According to Rabbi Meir, the correction is to make everybody the same. According to Rabbi Shimon, the correction is to round everybody down. What is the machlokas? Hold on. Does everyone understand that? You have the same problem that we can't get to the experience. What do? One correction is we make everybody the same. The other correction is we round everybody down. What's beneath that phenomenology that would explain the machlokas they're having?
Can I just say, in terms of fundamentally, we're trying to make the distinction that both of these shitas are holding from the same granular...
Yes, about what Boshes is, definitely.
But the thing is, once you start distinguishing the truer form of the shita, is to say we can't possibly evaluate anyone's particular bullshit because we get nowhere. Everyone there, you know, there's, it's so complex and there's just absolutely no way to calculate it. And therefore, the truest expression of that is to say, listen, there's one category, there's just no precision to this whatsoever. Once you start saying there's these two categories, I mean, you're already acknowledging that there is. That there is something.
Nobody's disputing that there are these categories and that these categories have implications for what you experience. And at the extremes, they're very different. The problem is, because you can't be precise,
it's
so
like
you...
That's like a treacherous... Yeah, is that really true? Like, I don't know, maybe someone...
That's not our job, though, to do that. Our job is to...
It sounds like it's... I don't know.
It has to do, Rashi, it has to do with the fact that the Ein L'Demei Bash Tosof, there's no finitude to evaluating exactly how someone experiences boshas.
And that's why I like the sheet that says there's absolutely just one, because we don't have any measuring stick, we just have to go by one.
Okay, but the question is, what gets you to that? So what gets you, see, you're already getting somewhere close to what you have to do here, which is what would get you to that versus what would get you to what Rabbi Shimon says. That is a solution. But what would get you to that versus how Rabbi Shimon does it?
Right.
What gets you to Rabbi Shimon's position, and what gets you to Rabbi Meir's position, given that you're right. If you were designing the system, you would do it that way, because you think that's the most fair. But what has to happen?
Right, so can you say that just my
hold on.
Maybe he, Rabbi Meir, holds that we just look at Busha as a phenomenon in man, so that's, it doesn't matter if you're, it may, in other words, it might vary as to how much Busha you experience,
okay.
But the phenomenon of Busha is the same. So, therefore, we objectify it as everybody gets the same.
You mean that's the reason why he normalizes it?
Yeah.
But he doesn't need that, because he already has Ein L'Demei Bash Tosof. He doesn't need a second reason. His reason is Ein L'Demei Bash Tosof, and this is the solution. And I don't. Rabbi Shimon doesn't disagree with Ein L'Demei Bash Tosof. He agrees that that is the problem. His solution is this Kula thing.
I just further clarify the correction of Rabbi Meir's. Rabbi Shimon holds that you would get payment as if the lowest person in your division.
Rabbi Meir?
Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi
Shimon holds, sorry. Rabbi Shimon holds you.
You round down, you're making.
In the economic realm.
They, no, no, they all. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir are
both.
Yeah, they're both experience oriented.
What is that? Is the nature of the correction?
Okay, because they hold that you can't really be precise. I can't find out what your experience is.
Okay. So, my question is what would be the difference in the corrected payment of the usher versus Ani?
Okay, according to Rabbi Shimon, we always are makel on the chovel. We always, even if we see that this Ani, even if we see that this particular person really, we're pretty sure they deserve more, we're makel on the chovel. We don't force them to pay exactly what we think that this person will.
Once he's already admitting there's no difference.
There is a difference.
No, no,
he's admitting there's no way to calculate the difference.
There's no way to be precise.
You don't know the range.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
In other words, you can...
But then he is saying, but I guess this...
Here's the thing. You can know.
Be precise with the corrected payment, in that there's an usher and an audience.
You're just precise at that. You set a payment which is rounded below what you know that this person deserves within a range. In other words, I know you deserve somewhere around $20. I don't know if that's 21 or if that's 19.50 or what it is.
And
I'm going to pay you 18, huh?
The deserving is based off the pain you felt.
Yeah. That's based off what they estimate that to be.
There's some way, because
whatever they do here, they have to figure out what the B'nai Chorin is. They're still estimating what that pain is, because they have to figure out what they think a B'nai Chorin would experience. What would an average guy kind of experience? So it's not like they're eliding the whole issue of suffering. They're just normalizing everybody to the same sort of psychology. Rabbi Shimon holds, you do that with pretty much everybody from the top down, but from the bottom, you're makel.
Right.
Meaning he holds that in every case, you pay, if you have a range of what you think they might deserve, you always pay less than what they could possibly, you go to the least amount that they could possibly deserve.
You're always makel.
Different by the Ani?
He says, "Ani aniim kepachusin shebehen." If they're an ani, you pay them as if they're the lowest ani. You don't pay them as if they're the top ani. You pay them close to nothing. You pay them as if they're the most, you know, abject, destitute ani that you know.
Rabbi Shimon holds that because there's no way to calculate the exact payment that the chovel deserves to be the mitzvayish, so we round, so we're always mekel.
Always mekel.
Right.
So
you're gonna a way to explain the argument? We're dealing with what was the move? Rabbi Shimon had a move that led to we're always makel, done. And Rabbi Meir had a move that led to everybody's the same. What was the mechanism? I don't think it demands a tremendous amount of elegance, but it demands an explanation.
I think maybe you'd say machlokes is the twist of the fine in the itself. Rav Shimon would say the name of Bash yourself is a sul in the distance where they could do a shuma, a precise shuma.
Okay.
So therefore, the chiv exists. The chiv tashlumin, there is a precise chiv tashlumin that exists, but based on this inability to do shuma for that.
Okay.
So therefore, you have to go to the low end of the spectrum. According to Meir, it's not that there's a chiv tashlumin that exists that we're unable to do shuma for. It's that it's a sul in the very. There's no chiv itself. Once the system has in the Bash yourself, there's no idea of a precise chiv tashlumin that exists for anything. You know, in Rav Shimon's framework, there is a precise idea, but we can't achieve it. In Meir's framework, there's no idea of the Asher as this Chiyuv and the Ani as this Chiyuv. Everyone is the same Chiyuv.
Okay. So then what?
So why does the Eved get paid more according to Rav Shimon?
The Eved?
He means the Ani.
The Ani, sorry.
The Ani gets paid more according to Rav Shimon?
Yeah.
Or Meir.
No, it doesn't.
Oh.
No.
According to Rav Meir.
Yeah, well, why is it?
Because then you have to go on the long of the spectrum for Rav Shimon. There is Chiyuv.
What are you saying,
Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir is that once there's an idea in the Mebash itself, that halacha, that there's a, once based on has limitation in the ability to do a precise evaluation, halacha can't tolerate such a chiyuv tashlumin existing conceptually. So everyone would just have the same chiyuv.
How does it get to everyone has the same chiyuv though?
Because there's no different chiyuv tashlumin attached to different experiences of Boshet.
I know, but then how do you get to any chiyuv?
Because Boshes per se has a.
How do you know? How would you get to Bnei Chor and Shiyardu Menechseihem?
Because Boshes is objectified as just being
by who?
The normal experience of Boshes.
By who?
Rameh.
Huh?
Rameh, I
know, but Rameh can't invent a normalized experience. You could say, listen, everyone gets paid like an usher. Here's your question. The question you have to answer is this a svara of Rabbi Meir, or was this is this? In other words, if you were going to say that the natural result of the inability to determine what the boshes is forces you to pay everyone the same, who determines what the same is? Now, it can't be Rabbi Meir.
The normative experience.
But who determines that?
Who determines
that it's the normative experience?
Well, we know it is because Bnei Chor is.
I know, no, but what I'm saying is that Rabbi Meir's position. He is not making an observation that because of this failure to determine precisely what Boshes is, we have to have a default of Kibbenei Chorin. Misvara, he can't say that. So it has to be who?
Misvara, he can't say
that. He can't say that it defaults to the Bnei Chorin Misvara. He can say that we can't do it, so you're not... I'm fine with you're not Chayev because you can't determine it. It has to default to something else. But who would have to determine that? Who would have to determine what the something else is? Not Rabbi Meir.
If there's one...
Rabbi Meir can't just say, listen, we can't determine this, so I hold it's Kibbenei Chor and Shiyardu
Menechseihem. He's saying that there's an intrinsic issue here, which is you cannot evaluate...
Fine, but who is it that has to solve the problem? This is easy. Who is it that has to establish... Who?
God.
No. This is Midrash, they had the Chiv Boshes, but who is it that has to determine... The Chachamim, right? They had to make it. This has to be. The Chachamim had to be gozer. That this is it. We can't do this. According to Rabbi Meir, you have it. You have this. Had to be a gezerah that Yardu Menechseihem meant that everybody is normalized because fulfilling the midiraisa of Demei Bashto is impossible. Like you said, it's not possible to do it. So what we do is Takanas Chachamim. Everybody's the same. We give everyone the same din. You have a din of a Bnei Chorin. So do you. Even though you're an usher, you get me. You're me. All right? So everyone has the exact same din from the Takana. So what is Rabbi... If that's true, if that's what Rabbi Meir holds, what does Rabbi Shimon hold?
He holds the Takana also?
No. In other words, the question is, how do you deal with a suffix right? This is so. This is you're gonna. This is not a big thing, but. Yeah. So the question is, what you have a suffix not in metzias. You have a suffix in indeterminability. You have a suffix in the ability to gather the information. How was that managed? According to Rebbe Meir, it was managed simply by giving everyone the same din. According to Rebbe Shimon, it's a motzi momen chaver alav araya. There was no solution in terms of, there was no solution built in terms of hachovel. We use the same solution we always use. Hamotzi momen chaver alav araya. So therefore, we always have to be mekel on the chovel. We do. We downgrade it. He holds the whole principle of Yardu kebedechor, and the whole principle of ki'ilu yardu minechseihem is just a kula. It's just an idiomatic way of expressing a kula.
Why should there be gradations? Why shouldn't everybody just go down to close in
Shalom? Because you know a minimum, the guy's going to.
Well, you can be right. Certain of what the guy definitely deserves.
Right.
You definitely are not an ani. So I can't be. I could certainly say that I'm going to be mekel on the mazik, but there's a degree to which I can't be mekel on the mazik and steal from him. You know what I mean? I can say I can't determine this, so I'm not going to make you pay. But that's within a range. I'm going to make you pay
it's not suffic anymore.
Right. It becomes a vada. Okay. So all Rabbi Shimon has is a way of resolving suffic. But the suffix is what's unique about this is it's not a suffix in mitzias. It's a suffix in an inability to get at something which the Torah says you're chayev to determine. You know what I mean? It's an unusual type of a suffix. So this is something that's foreseeable. So Koran Meir, how do you deal with it? You deal with it built in to hachovel, to the principle of hachovel. You have a takana. According to Rabbi Shimon, you use Momonos. Momonos has its own system.
How can that be that there's a device of mitzvah that needed a takana? How can that be?
You won't need it to
do it.
Huh?
It seems like a crazy thing. Like you couldn't possibly.
Well, this is the beauty of it, because the truth is, this is what happens. There was a construct for Boshes that was given me Diraisa. The construct was given to the Chachamim depending on what they held. So if you held Boshes was an experience, you already knew there was a problem. But that's how the Torah is. I mean, it was given for people to do that.
So before this takana, they just didn't pay Moses? What did they do? They didn't have it?
I mean, I'm sure this had to be a very early thing. That's not an answer I can tell
you. See, we know who did it.
Yeah, I can't do.
It's just a bizarre, I'm just kind of,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, this type of thing you would think would be like a lot longer than most we've seen, something like that, explaining.
I don't know. But in any case, there are two ways to resolve this. One way is to give everybody the same din, and the gzeirah is the best way I can think of that would do that. The other way would be suffek, and you know, motzi momen mechaver alav araya, and you're done. All right.
What's the explicit pasuk that refers to? Is there an explicit pasuk that refers to parsha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the pasuk by the isha.
Yeah.
The pasuk is ki inatu anashim yachdav ish va achiv v'karba isha ha'echad lahatzas isha miyadei makehu v'shalcha yada v'achzika bimvushav.
And that's the pasuk.
That is the pasuk.
Yeah.
Yes. Boshes comes from that. Okay, so guys, the next machlokas is this for next week. The next machlokas is that it's a machlokas the Ravid and Rashi. The machlokas is when we say Rowan Oson Ki'ilu Yardu, right? Is that just by the Misvayesh or is that also by the Mivayesh? That was kind of what you were asking. So according to the Ravid, whatever mechanism normalized everybody, whatever it was that normalized everybody, that applies to the Mivayesh as well as the Misvayesh. Everybody is sort of the same. The only variable that the Beis Din has to deal with is what type of embarrassment was it? Was it a slap or a push or whatever? According to... Oh, I didn't tape any of it.
If it's blinking, it's paused.
No, here, it's going now.
Yeah,
okay. All right, so do you reconcile the suffix with Hamotzi Mamonis Chavera Lava Raya? Is it a Mamonis principle? They reconcile the suffix? Or did this require a Machria that was independent of a Mamonis suffix and was reconciled vis-a-vis a Gezerah, some other way of determining? Everybody had the same din. So everybody, either everybody got the same din, or were machrila suffek in a mamunus way. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the kula is because of a motzi mamun michaver alav araya. So we're mekelin everybody. Okay. So the next machlokus is according to the Ravid, we the same thing that we do to the misvayish, we do to the mivayish. So everybody is the same in terms of the potency of the mivayish, the chashivas of the mivayish. It doesn't matter if he's an ani or an usher, we consider them the same. Why that would need to be, that's part of the problem there. According to Rashi, we don't have a problem determining the chashivas of the mivayish. So of course we go ahead and include that in the way that we do the Shuma. According to the Ravid, everybody was normalized. So the question really becomes, and the only variable then becomes the injury. So the question is, for next week, we'll read it inside, but the question is, what is the machlokas, the Ravid, and the Rashi? And why would the Ravid hold that you need to normalize the Mivayish? The Mizvayish we understand, because Ein Demei Bashto Sof. But there's no principle of Ein Chashivas Sof. There's nothing to suggest that that's an issue, because that would be a problem for Rabbi Yehuda's whole position.
Well, can you hold that? You can't, same way you can't calculate.
Because then Rabbi Yehuda, you'd have a problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda's whole position is that there's a hierarchy. And I don't think it's true that you couldn't figure that out. Then you have a problem. I don't think that's the machlokas. Yeah.
So the point of contingency between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon was whether we resolve the problem of not being able to calculate the boshes via Gezerah or via...
Maybe Gezerah is the wrong way to say it. Do we use some other external principle? Do we give everyone... Does everyone get the same din somehow? Okay, does someone externally... Somehow does everybody end up with the same din?
Or via dine moment.
Or do we use a dine moment? How do we resolve the suffix? Is the suffix resolved in a chovel specific way? Or do we use a principle in mamonis? Hamotzi min
ha'gever alav araya. Why do you ask the external? Why can you say if intrinsic?
Because you have a hard time. If you're going to say... there's no. I don't think that you could say, misvara, that everybody is considered... You can't say that we have a problem with the suffix, and therefore, misvara, everybody is a b'nei chorin.
Why not?
Because you're inventing that.
What are you inventing?
You're inventing. You can't just decide, misvara, that everyone has the same din because you can't resolve a suffix.
You're deciding. You're saying that...
I know, but where would you get that information? You can't... There's no intrinsic. That would be pure disembodied rational speculation. You just say, I think that everybody has the same din. That has to come from somewhere. You're allowed to observe the problem. You can't create a solution. The solution has to be there. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the solution is there. We know how to deal with suffix. Hamotzi mamun chaver alav araya. According to Rabbi Meir, he can't say, the solution isn't there, I'm going to invent one, and everybody's the same.
I don't see that. It's saying that if intrinsically you're unable to differentiate different people, and you know there must be a chiyuv boshes because it's a derasa principle.
How would you get to roan oso kilu yardu? How would you get to that?
Because you said everyone's normal. Everyone's just normal.
But how do you know which normal? They're all the same? How would you know which...
What do you mean, which normal?
How would you decide that they all get to be the B'nai Chorin? How would you know that?
I'm not sure you're saying that it makes
He's saying that there's a way to determine... There was a way for Rebbe Meir to predict what to...
I'm not sure why is it any... Why does it make any more sense?
Because Rebbe Meir had no authority. Because there's no... Here's the problem. The problem is, what information would Rebbe Meir have access to come up with that?
It's not possible to differentiate people. Everyone must have the same idea.
But how would you know what that is?
Because if everyone must have the same principle, and we know that there must be a clear from Boshes from the Arisa.
How would you know it's B'nai Chorin? Do you really mean it must be?
What do you mean?
You mean that you could test every other one and show me why they shouldn't be paid $50 less than a B'nai Chorin?
I don't understand your point.
In other words, how would you know, let's say you realize that there was a problem in Suffolk. Guys, wait. If you know that there's a problem in Suffolk, how would you know that the resolution is that everybody is the same? How would Rabbi Meir know that?
Because according to how I understand Rabbi Meir's story, once there's a category of Tashum and that's intrinsically unable to...
Then there has to be a mechanism for dealing with suffix. Rabbi Shimon has a simple one.
Well, I'm holding him saying that there can't be a suffix in a situation...
There is a suffix.
Well, I'm saying, why can you say for a mayor that in a situation where let's say, a Shumar estimation is intrinsically possible.
But then there wouldn't be a chiyuv deraisa. Then you're saying there's no. Then the whole principle.
Is the
deraisa thing that you're supposed to pay for the experience? If it is, then you're saying you can't find it. Then you're saying there is none. So then you're saying you're ochre the deraisa. You're chayiv deraisa. There is none. You're not chayiv deraisa. No, so then Rebbe Meir makes up a position.
The experience of boshes per se, but not particular instances.
I know, but this is boshes. Boshes is a tashlumen that you're paying for something.
Right,
you're not.
You're
compensating him for suffering.
He felt a certain pain in boshes. You're paying him back.
And you're either you're chayiv deraisa for that or you're not.
Right.
You're saying you are chayiv deraisa.
Yes.
So you're chayiv deraisa. So you can't know what the chiyuv is. Now, where do you get to? There is no chiyuv.
I'm saying perhaps Rameir could say that in a situation where particularized chiyuvim are intrinsically impossible to determine,
then
there is no individualized chiyuv there.
Do you understand? To me, that sounds a little bit like it's a sort of a tautology. You're starting with there is a chiyuv deraisa. This is what it is. You can't determine what it is.
I'm saying there's some idea of a chiyuv boshes deraisa. It's impossible to have a particularized idea. It's impossible to have not for based into estimate the particularized idea.
It's not a particularized idea. It's an experience. You have a certain suffering.
Right, to get the particular experience.
I can't figure out what I owe you. Those are the facts. You are owed something though.
Well, you are
owed a particular amount.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm saying from the beginning, you owe boshes. Now we can either say there's one universal or a particular thing. And Rameh would say, since intrinsically it's impossible a particular thing.
Then what?
We don't hold that. There can be. I'm saying he can't say that there's a chiyuv produced that's intrinsically impossible for based on the estimate.
He can't say that you can estimate something you can't estimate. So the question is, how did they resolve something that was a suffix that came from the mitzvah itself? So there has to be a solution to that. Now, he can't invent the solution.
But I'm saying, Cormac, I don't like to say that there's a suffix. He could just say, since intrinsically, if you went down your road and said that there are particularized chiyuv, you'd be forced to say there's a suffix. And he doesn't want to say intrinsically a category of tashumen is suffering. He'll say that there has to be one universal.
But then he would have never done the ein demei bashto sof thing.
No, that's his proof why it has to be his way. Because ein demei bashto, if you go down your other way, it's ein demei bashto sof, and that's an impossibility. Because categorically, we can't have a deraisa that.
Yeah, but that would be a limud. But then you're saying that really the chi of deraisa is really the yardu minichseihem.
Yeah.
But that would have to be a limud. He can't just come up with a chi of deraisa as yardu minichseihem. How would he know that?
Because if he goes down the other way,
I know, but you have to understand that you can't do. He's excluded one thing, so then he avers a chi of deraisa that he invents it.
Well, he's not inventing. He knows there's a chi of boshes.
I know, but he doesn't know what it is. You're saying now he knows what it is.
What's the other option? You know, there's one chi of boshes.
It's resolving a suffix. The other option is if you do that, it's a resolving the suffix way. So then it's just a question of what the mechanism of resolution is. But the suffix is still there. There are lots of ways to resolve sfeikos. And it could be that they had a way that was a leman. It could, whatever they did, it was a resolution of what existed as a suffix. But it couldn't have been something that he came to misvara.
Well, why couldn't it be something he came to?
Because there's no way to know what that would be, what the resolution would be. He must have held misvara that it was resolved this way. But he couldn't come up with misvara, the resolution is this.
If you held misvara, there could only be one universal chiyuv boshes. There couldn't be a particular chiyuv boshes.
Do you think that would drive you to, it has to be? In other words, are you claiming that if I told you the facts of this case without B'nai Choron Sheyardu, you would have told me it must be B'nai Choron Sheyardu?
If you told me there's one chiyuv boshes,
yes,
for everyone pays the same thing, I would say that what does everyone pay? They pay the average amount of boshes.
This isn't the average amount. This is B'nai Choron Sheyardu.
You're saying this is not the average?
It's not the universe. They didn't take the average of every person on the planet and take the median. They took a particular person, a dignified person that had money, that experienced boshes, and they set that amount. It's not the absolute mean.
Right, so you're saying that the normative experience of boshes is different than this.
I mean, I don't know. This is B'nai Choron Sheyardu Minechseihem. It's a specific thing.
I was understanding to be Lashon just for the normative experience, like the middle of the road.
I mean, it's pretty close to probably what the middle is, but it's not the mean. I mean, there's no way to predict this.
Right, but we have all the time at Lacha, with a normal thing.
I know, but the problem is that if you think that you're suggesting that someone could predict this particular way of determining what boshes is just misvara and not as a resolution of suffix. You're saying if it's a suffix, that's impossible. So it can't be a suffix. So what must the halacha be? It must be this. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying since
that to me is impossible without a limud. To say this, the halacha can't be a suffix, so this must be the halacha.
Well,
can't be.
In a situation where we know there must be one chiyuv,
How would you know what it is?
Isn't Norm of Men...
That you can't do. I don't think. You can never come up with that because, be honest, would you have really predicted this, B'nai Chon Shiardu Menachseihem?
That particular expression?
I mean, the, whatever that expression means.
No, I've never heard B'nai Chon Shiardu Menachseihem. Like, that's a category of God before, so...
I mean, but I'm just saying, but the notion of... See, this is, I think... Listen, it's a legitimate possibility. But to me, the notion that one person could predict what the halacha is because he knows what it isn't is difficult.
Let's say instead of saying B'nai Chon Shiardu Menachseihem, B'nai. Everyone gets beat by Ben.
I would have a little bit more sympathy for your position if that's what it were.
I was understanding the difference.
Then you have to take a survey of everyone's votes.
Okay, no, we have it all the time, though. I've been talking about abandoning, you have to take a survey of everyone. I've asked this question
a couple times.
Or I get to test it as a universal survey.
Yeah.
So
don't give me the
survey
system.
Yeah. But I think it's easier to do it. I think the important part is the resolution of the suffix.
Okay.
That's the key to the machlokas. I think how it happened is tougher to... Yeah, and predictions are hard.
Right.
But it was a good...
All right.
Is that all on the tape?
Thanks.
All right, I think that was all on the tape. God, someone's...